Okay, cool. So we're recording right now, and it's going to be noisy for a few minutes because a lot of people are just starting to call because it's right at 11 o'clock. So I want to welcome everybody, and I'm going to tell
you. I'm wondering, are you cursing that all the beeping that goes on every 5 seconds? Like a beep, 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 beep. It's like the FCC is blocking the calls here.
No, I just entered.
That's me cursing. So hang on, we have a lot of people calling in from all over the world, and when they call in, it beeps. So,
no, I know. I know. I'm just cracking a joke.
Oh, you're making a joke, George?
I'm just making a joke.
Let me do the jokes, George. Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal your thunder. Sorry, my bad.
It's all right. Everybody, just be patient because people are still calling in right now, and we have a ton of people calling in. While that's happening, let me give you some instructions on what we're going to be doing here. In just a minute, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to mute everybody on the call in just about a minute, meaning you won't hear anything except for me. And let me try that now. 1 second. And I think, George, I'm going to do an experiment because I've never done it this way before. George, can you, on your keypad, hit *6? I want to just check something. So just George. George, can you do that? Okay, that didn't work. So hang on a second. Oh, okay, good. They can unmute themselves. George, do that again, please. Hit *6 on your keypad. George, you
okay.
There? George, yeah, there
yeah.
You. George, is that you? Okay, good. So I just did an experiment, and it worked. So everybody, people are still calling in. George, people can only hear you and I right now because I've muted everybody because it'll make the call sound a lot better for everybody. And those of you, here's what we're going to do is if you want to ask me a question and if I call out your name, the best thing that what I'm going to ask you to do is hit *6 on your keypad. And when you do that, it's going to unmute you, meaning that I can talk to you. There'll be a delay, so it won't happen right away. It'll take about 10 seconds, and then I'll be able to hear you, and then we can talk. So right now, everybody is muted except for George, and him and I are going to have he brought something up, and I want to address it on this call, and then we'll continue. So, George, hang in there with me for a second, though. I'm going to officially start the call now, so I want to welcome everybody that's called in. I especially want to welcome the new power agents. I know we've got some people all over the world, like even Hawaii, and I know you had to get up at like 5 in the morning for this call, so thanks for doing that. This call is being recorded, and it is live. So, like I said, you'll have an opportunity to talk to me and ask questions. Right now, you are not able to. Anybody that's calling in last minute or calling in right now, if you want to ask me a question at any point during the call, you can interrupt me. Just hit *6 and be patient. It'll take about 10 seconds for you to come live, and then you can ask me a question. The purpose of the call every month is a few things. Number one is to give you some coaching. You know, a bunch of you have emailed me questions ahead of time, and so I'm going to address your questions now. I'll call out your name, and if we have time, if you want to ask me a question on the call right now, you can do that. The other thing I recommend that you do is actually, you know, take notes. And if you have a question that you want to ask me later and you don't want to interrupt me, then write that down. And when you find that there's a moment that you can interrupt me, do that, and then you'll have your question already for yourself. The other thing, too, is every month I upload to the Power Program website a digital magazine and some slides and stuff. And so we're going to go over that, too, on the call. And this month we've launched the new Power Program website, which I'm really, really, really excited because I'm able to upload a lot of great stuff for you, visuals, checklists, dialogues, and I'm going to talk about that for a minute also on the call because there's some really great stuff that's there waiting for you to access. So that's what we've got. Now, George, let's start with you. Gang George had asked me. He had sent me an email, and I wanted to address it on the call here. So, George, you're still with me? Now, George,
yep.
If you hit, okay, good. So, George, so why don't you address it real quick? What did you say? You had said something about the commission and how you were dealing with homeowners, and you got some listings. So, go ahead, do that.
What I did was I took a lot of Daryl CDs and I put them onto my iPod. And so when I go to listing appointments or whenever I'm just in need for some, quite honestly, some motivation, I kind of listen to them. And one of the days it kept hitting me about being creative and some of that. And then one day I was sitting in the office and I was just sitting down. I was looking at numbers because I'm a statistics type of guy. And I started looking for a specific stat when he was talking about, you know, list price to sales price ratio. And then I said, well, to me, there's a stat that's not talked about. And I said, well, and I started thinking more and more about it. And the stat was basically how many listings, if we're a listing agent or a listing company, how many listings did we take? Because we all know it's also in the successful type of transactions on those listings. So I basically pulled all of the listings from my MLS during the course of an 18-month time frame because 12 months really doesn't give a true picture, and I figured 18 months is at least a year and a half. So I pulled all of the new listings that every company took. Then I also put a stat in the MLS. Well, let me see, out of those listings, how many of those actually sold? And then I started calling it a successful conversion ratio of the listings that was taken.
George, did you break this down? So I want to make sure everybody didn't get lost here. So for 18 months, you looked at all the listings that were on MLS of all the companies, and then you looked at
new listings. New listings.
New listings. So they weren't relists. And how many of those actually sold? Now, did
yes.
you break that down by company, or no? You just did like an MLS.
Yes, but broken down by company. Absolutely.
Now, that sounds like a lot of work. Is there an easy way in your MLS to do that where you can...
Well, basically, my MLS does have reporting features, and one of the reporting features is I'm able to actually go in there, highlight everything, and then pull it into an Excel spreadsheet, and then I just have to make the columns as big as I want to and kind of go from there.
All right, so your MLS made it easier to extrapolate this information and categorize
yeah.
it. By the way,
yes.
those of you that, and I'm interrupting George, I mean, one of the tips I'm going to give you right now is that if you're not really, I know some of you are really limited in your knowledge of a lot of the technology in your life, meaning like, you know, your smartphone is probably smarter than you realize it because the only features you're using it for is maybe making a phone call. And the same thing might be with your MLS or some of the technology at your board. So what you may want to do is, if for those of you that this applies to, is either take classes or schedule actual tech time, meaning that you take some time to poke around your MLS, look at the reports, click here, click there, see what it does, like self-teach yourself. I highly recommend you do it for those of you that aren't tech savvy because you might have some gold things that you can use. So anyway, go on, George. So you extrapolated the information and you looked at
I took the information and then I essentially just made it a ratio. I put one on top of the other and I came up with a percentage of those types of, you know, what the conversion rate is. So, you know, and some of them, I actually have it sitting on top of my desk. Some people's are, you know, 64%, 44%, 50%, 45%, 38%, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and obviously it goes down the line. And it was funny because I started to look at some of a lot of the companies that are out there. There are companies that claim that they have the most listings, et cetera, et cetera. That was one. There was another one that some companies where I've been actually trying, based off of some of Dallas tapes, to kind of talk to. There's been a number of companies that, on that splitting commissions evenly, are known. Go ahead.
Yeah, jump to that, because that's the part
yeah.
I want to stress.
In our market here, there's probably, if I had to, anywhere between 3 to 4 companies from 150 company boards that don't split evenly, and that's just the policy right across the board, split the commission evenly. And every agent knows that. Every agent complains about it, et cetera, et cetera. So when I started looking, and then I looked at, obviously, the bigger companies that take the most listings, who's potentially a lot of times my competition on a lot of these listings, as well as the people that do the same thing on the commission. And I looked at those two factors, and I noticed that they were way, way, way down on the successful conversion list. And when I brought this to the attention, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm sitting in front of a couple of homeowners and not knowing who I'm going up against. And they said, well, they're looking down, and I see them actually looking at specific companies on the list. And this is all MLS data, and you must probably as well, it's probably a good idea to disclose any type of information that you get from MLS. You always want to state where you're getting the information from and where you're getting statistics from. Because
all right, George, let me jump to some, because I want to, because we have so much to cover on this call too. So,
sure.
But this is great. So I just want, so what you did was, is that you, and I'm just going to use numbers. We're not doing price fixing. They're just not.
No, absolutely not.
I know you're not. I'm just, that was my disclaimer. So what you did is you showed a homeowner that, you know, here's a couple of companies that are known for, if let's say the brokerage fee, let's just say, is 6% as an example, that this, what agents like to see is that it's split 50-50, so 3% goes to the selling office and 3% goes to the listing office. But here's a couple of companies that they do something less than that, and they're known for it. And so a lot of agents aren't crazy about working those listings, and therefore look at their close ratio. You know, only 60% of their listings actually sold, compared to mine where it's 80%. Because is that what you did, George?
That's exactly what I did. And that's one of the things that I said. I said, what do you attribute to? And I said, people want to sell my listings because they know they'll get paid what they're worth.
All right. Now, George, there's a couple of things I want to say about that, and then I'm going to go on to the next question that I had here. Is that I want you to look at the possibility, because here's what I believe, and this is what I teach, okay? I teach that the Selling Brokers Commission is a marketing tool, and and you should pay out based on the listing. So if let's say you have a listing that needs extra help, and I'm just picking as a number as an example, and I get a 6% commission, I may decide to pay out 3.5% or 4%, and I keep 2.5% or 2%. And the reason why I may do that is because I know this is going to be a hard listing to move. One of the emails I got here is somebody had, they said that the house is priced right. Leo Schengenberger from Nothing Realtors up in Fairport, you know, he sent me an email, and I'm going to talk to him in a minute about, he's got this great listing that is priced great. It's 4,800 square feet, but when you include the third floor, it's actually 7,000 square feet. This is a huge house. For the area, it's unique, and there's a ton of showings, but no offers. And so if you have a unique listing that's hard to move, for example, like that one, you may pay out 4% and keep 2%, because the Selling Brokers Commission is a marketing tool. But on the same token, George, if you've got a listing that's easy to sell, like you can almost sell it without the help of the brokers, I think it's totally acceptable on that same example of 6 that maybe I'd pay out 2.5% and my office keeps 3.5%.
So what you're saying is essentially selective.
Yes, that I would not.
Okay.
I would not. Now, this other broker, they may have just created a bad reputation for themselves that all listings, they're keeping more and paying out less, and that's hurt them. But I like you to be flexible with, if you've got a shiny penny, a listing that's going to sell quickly, that maybe you don't have to pay out as much, and vice versa. That's number one. Number two is, you also, that broker, you may also want to look at those brokers that were paying out less. It may not be that they were keeping more that ticks the agents off, but it's that they're paying out less than what all the average are. So if you see that the average SBC, Selling Brokers Commission, in your MLS is 2.5 to 3, and these guys are at 2 or 1.75, that might be the problem also. So it's not so much that they're paying out less, I mean that they're keeping more, but the Selling Brokers Commission is the less number. Am I being clear what I'm saying, George?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So anyway, just some thoughts there. So thanks for that, George. All right, now.
No problem.
George, if you hit star 6, you're going to mute yourself again, and then I'm going to continue on with some of these other coaching calls. Now, let's see. Kevin, you just sent me an email this morning, so let me just jump on that. Kevin, if you're on the call, you can hit star 6, and that'll unmute you. And that's for anybody. If you want to talk to me, I'm going to say it one last time because now I think we've got everybody on the call. If you want to ask me a question, the way to do that is hit star 6, and that will unmute you, and you'll become live, and you can talk to me like George did. Kevin sent me an email saying, I came home last week. I saw a new listing sign on my street. Older couple. It kills me. I had stopped by there before. I sent him some stuff. But I didn't really get to know the people. Another agent who's not as good, also works the area, but farms, walks at early a.m., drops stuff off, and they got the listing. So should I start farming? How big should my area be? What should I send? How often? Here's what I'd say to that. Everybody that's you find yourself in a situation where, you know, you lose a listing to another agent and you get kind of ticked off. First of all, that's not a bad thing that if it should tick you off, as long as it doesn't paralyze you, but it makes you stronger. You know, so that's the first thing. If you lose a piece of business, do not beat yourself up where it's destructive. Make it constructive. So look at what could you do to your business, what can you do in your business, how can you get focus once again, so use it as an opportunity for that. But what I would not do, Kevin and everybody else, is I would not change my plan. So if you've got an agent who is, you know, you lost a listing to, and that agent is farming and they're doing door knocking and dropping off stuff and you're not doing that, well, that doesn't mean that you should now go do what they're doing. One of the things that really puts businesses out of business, there's a company, I'm not going to mention names or what their industry is or whatever it is, but there is a guy working for a company, and he decided to branch out and open up his own company. And what started to happen is this other company that he used to work for was jealous as opposed to supportive. So they decided to start attacking him. And they started focusing on trying to attack this person. Now, what happens is when they did that, it takes them off their business plan, and it's a distraction for them. So it actually hurts them. It doesn't help them. So don't, Kevin or anybody else, if a realtor has some minor success on something, don't let it take you off your plan. Now, if you don't have a plan and now you're going to create one and try and imitate theirs, that's not good either. So that's my thought on that. I don't think you should go farming just because that person's farming. Do I think farming is good? Yes. Should you be mailing out stuff and stay in focus? Yes. Should you be prospecting? Yes. I think everybody on this call knows my favorite form of prospecting is FSBOs and expireds. Why? Because you don't have to walk. It works during the cold weather and the snow. You can make a lot more dials in the same amount of time that you can be knocking on doors. So I'm just a fan of the phone.
Hey, Daryl. I'm here. Kevin, by the way.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing? So, great. You know, it is Kevin. You know, Kevin and everybody else, I think that if you like to door knock, I think that that's fine. So as long as it works for you, do that. So, Kevin, did I answer your question okay?
Yeah, good. The only thing is, though, I feel kind of stupid among my neighbors, maybe 6 people around me, and they figure, hey, this guy's an agent, but this other agent, you know, she gets all these listings around here, and it just makes me feel like stupid with these people.
Because people are listing in your neighborhood, yeah. Well, you know, listen, here's, Kevin, same thing. Number one is, first of all, you're not going to get all the listings, so you just kind of got to know that, okay? And as long as you're getting other listings and you're building your business, you shouldn't feel stupid. Some people would choose not to list with their realtor who's a neighbor because they don't want their neighbor, that being you, knowing their personal information. So they'll go out of their way to not hire you, Kevin. So that happens also. So if you're working your area and you're not getting the listings, that's what it could be. If you're not working the area, you want to work your area, then yes, you should do that. So my point here, Kevin, and then I'm going to move on to the next thing, is don't have this agent create your plan. don't be jealous and create a plan because you got so upset with this other person losing their business. Because then you're creating a plan that's not based on you creating something that's going to empower you. You're creating a plan because you lost something and you don't want to lose more. It's kind of like weight. If you go on a diet because you're fat and you think you're fat and you feel like you're fat, well, the whole diet actually empowers the whole fat conversation that you have about yourself. That's why you see people lose weight and then they gain it back more. Because the actual plan of the diet is not to get healthy. The plan of the diet is to be, you know, not fat. And what happens is you become fatter. So don't create a business plan based on jealousy of another agent. Create a business plan because that's good for you in your personal life. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Thank you. I agree with you 100%.
All right, great. Great, Kevin. Glad I could help. Leo, now you can hit *6, Kevin, and that will mute you back. Leo, from Nothnagel Realtors. So, you know, the bottom line, because this was a long email, and I really appreciate you sending it to me. Leah, if you're on the call, you hit *6, you can unmute yourself. You know, here's what I believe. Leo has a listing that he's getting a lot of activity, and it's not selling. Are you on the call, Leo?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great. So, Leo, so you were saying that in this email that you've got this listing and there's no, you're getting a lot of activity but no offers, is that right?
Right.
Okay. I kind of concur with you that if you're absolutely sure that it's priced right, and which it sounds like well, you know, hang on. Leo, I'm not right there in the field with you, so I can't give you a 100% answer because I have to see the house and feel the area. But my guess is, if you're getting a lot of realtors coming, let me ask you a question. Are you getting showings? I got that you get a lot of realtors coming to check it out. Are you getting a lot of showings?
I'm getting showings. I'm getting calls for people to see it, and I've never had this many people come through opens. It's been on the market a month, two opens, and I, no exaggeration, probably 250 people or more.
Okay, so there's two possibilities, okay? The one possibility is people are coming not because it's priced well, but because they're curious.
Absolutely. Okay?
You know, so there's that possibility that people are coming because, wow, 7,000 square feet, I got to see this house. And that's not good. If you're getting a lot of people, and it's not because they're curious, but because it's a good price and they're interested, and they're buyers, da-da-da, and you're not getting offers, then, yeah, you're probably right that you're getting the wrong buyer. So I'm going to do something radical, and I'm going to base it based on a realtor in New York City who actually sold. Some of you are familiar with this article about the creator of FSBO.com. I think it was FSBO.com or ForSaleByOwner.com. I can't remember, but I don't have the. Well, I think I do have it in front of me. The guy who created that. Hang on one second. Yeah, it was ForSaleByOwner.com. Colby Sobrato. He tried selling his own. He sold ForSaleByOwner.com. And anyway, he was trying to sell his $2 million property in Manhattan by himself, and he couldn't sell it. So a real estate broker in New York City came in and actually listed the property, which that's hysterical, that the ForSaleByOwner.com guy listed with a realtor. Anyway, and the realtor said, listen, the reason why you're not selling is because you've priced it too low, and so you're not getting the right buyers coming into the property. So the realtor raised the price by $150,000, Leo, and it sold within a month. So I concur with you that perhaps, Leo, that maybe you should maybe raise the price, that you're getting the wrong type of buyer into this property. Now, unfortunately, for you to make this decision to do that, it's going to really you can't go back after that. You know, once you raise the price, you're kind of stuck at that, you know, because you can then, like, 2 months later come down again because then the people are going to think you're psycho. So anyway, so I don't know what else to tell you. That's the only, based on everything you gave me, that's the only suggestion I have for you. Before I would raise the price, though, I would look at, wait, I do have another idea, Leo. Oh, wait, maybe this is a better idea, is actually consider doing an auction on the property. Now, I'm not really good with auctions. I can't tell you how to do that. You're going to have to do some research. You know, from Long Island, we don't do auctions. I know some realtors throughout the United States, they've been experimenting with auctions, and they've had really great success with it. And I know in Australia, 50% of their properties are actually sold via auction. And same thing in New Zealand. And that might also work for you. That if you actually, because you know what, I actually love this idea the best, because if you're getting, Leo, 200 people coming through, well, if you had an auction and you announced this big auction, you're probably going to get a huge turnout. And if you have the starting price be close to the listing price, there's a good chance that you'll bid that property above the asking price. So anyway, those are my suggestions, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, good luck with that. And you can hit *6. That'll mute you. Corey, how do I price a home correctly? What methods do I use to come up with a price that will be certain that the home will sell? There's a lot of things that I've taught, but the one thing I will say right now for this call is you should look at your MLS stats. Like what George said earlier is a similar concept. George was talking about other brokers. If you look at your average list price to sales price ratio for all of MLS for the last year compared to this year, are property values going up or are they going down? If they're going down, you can show a homeowner the trend that property values are going down, list price to sales price ratio. So I think using local stats, your MLS stats, is a really great way to educate the homeowner what's happening in the real estate market, the local real estate market. Okay, let's see, Katrina Smith, you had sent an email. Hang on 1 second, Katrina. I'm just checking something. Okay, Katrina, you had asked, if you're on the call, you can hit *6 to mute yourself. I'm really having problems getting focused, what to do first, working on expired listings. Okay, here's, I don't know if you guys are ready for this conversation right now, but I've been, is that you, Katrina?
Yes.
Hi, Katrina. How are you?
Hi. Good morning. I'm fine, thanks. How are you doing?
Good, hon. So, by the way, you're in a noisy room, so I don't know if you can go into another room or something.
All right. I'm going to try and do that. Yep.
Morning.
Okay.
Now, everybody, so Katrina, I'm going to talk to everybody. That sounds a lot better. I'm going to talk to everybody on this about staying focused because there's so many people that have issues with this.
Okay.
I've been in the past couple of weeks, gang, I've been doing a lot of research because I'm writing a new seminar for the 2012, and I'm shocked at how many studies have been done by universities, scientists, et cetera. You know what? Katrina, I'm going to ask you to mute yourself on, okay?
Wait, yes, that's fine. Okay.
It hit *6, okay, babe? And that'll... I'm sorry, I just called you, babe. Sorry about that.
Sorry, I just muted you on my side. Go ahead.
All right. The research I've been doing, gang, is the power of smiling, and I can't believe how many studies have been done on smiling. And also I've been looking at motivation, actual studies done in Germany about what motivates people. I love the Internet. I can get access to so much great stuff right now. And what was astonishing to me is that money is not a motivator for people. There was a study done in Germany that money is not a motivator for people unless the task is simple. Like if there's one simple task, really simple, whatever, you know, just it's not creative. It's almost mechanical in nature, almost like a race. That money then is a motivator. It seems as though money works only when the task is really narrow focused. Now, when I watch this study, is as realtors, real estate agents, our business is not mechanical. It's more of an art form. It's a way of being. There's so many different moving pieces in our business that money's not usually a motivator. Now, by the way, everybody on this call, if money does motivate you in real estate, just ignore what I'm saying. I'm just telling you about a study that I found in Germany and blah blah blah. But I know from training agents, and doing this as long as I've been doing it, I concur with the study when it comes to realtors. I think we get into real estate not for the money, but more the lifestyle that it gives us. You know, it does give us the opportunity to make money, but more importantly, we can be in control of our destiny. We can make our own hours. We can balance our lives between personal and family and, you know, what and business. But usually what happens is that we get so wrapped up in real estate, you know, we kind of suffer with our family and our personal life because we're working really, really, really hard just to survive. So, Katrina, the first thing that I want to point out to you is that it's real important that you get clear about, you know, something that can get you passionate in your business. Okay, so I'm talking to help you stay focused. You've got to look at something in your personal life that you want to have happen, a next level that I always talk about, something that's going to stretch who you are as a person. And it may be business related, may not be business related. You know, I don't know about you guys, but for me, you know, I've also been watching a lot of videos about Steve Jobs, and what's really brought to the surface for me and my focus is that, you know, we're not going to get out of life alive. You know, we're going to all die. And so it's real, and we never know when that's going to be, so it's real important that every day that we live a life as if it was our last and that we're happy. I mean, that's got to be the most important thing, I think, for all of us is that, you know, are we happy? Am I being happy today? And so I think, Katrina, you need to be happy. That to me, that's real important that you be happy in your life. And whatever that looks like, whatever you need to do for you to be happy, that's all that really matters because when it's all said and done, that's all that's going to matter anyway. That's number one. Number two is, you know, you having any kind of charts. By the way, let me clarify something. Katrina, are you still unmuted here, or can you talk?
I'm here. I can hear you.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. When you say focus, are you talking about just specific business, or are you talking about life stuff? Because I just realized I'm going off about life stuff, and maybe that's not your question. Is it? Are you having problems staying focused in business?
It's in business, and what you had just mentioned was excellent, and you're absolutely right. I actually went into the real estate for the lifestyle, and also I'm busy on the outside with church and all these other places, so in my family's business, that it's sort of me trying to find the medium to do one simple thing that can jumpstart me into it, and I can start at least satisfying myself and making money in order to go forward with it, because it's just been a struggle, and it's I'm very good with like hands-on, like someone show me something, and then I can follow it. And then discover my own way of doing it because I know how it's done.
Yeah.
So,
I'm gonna I'll say this, Katrina, and I think this is gonna help a lot of people on the call. And then I'm gonna get into some of the visuals that I put together for you guys this month. I'm staring at this right now, which is a board that I have in my office, and there's a bunch of columns from top to bottom. And the first column over to the left, from top to bottom, is times. You know, 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8 to 9. So it's an hour increments. And then right alongside of that, what I have, Katrina, is categories. I have categories. One category is seminar content, office paperwork, personal, real estate, content, prospecting. So I have these columns. And what I do is that in each one of those spaces, a lot of time as to what I'm going to do in that category. So if you've got your real estate business, you've got church, you've got your other business, you may want to break up your life into categories, almost like job descriptions, and look at your calendar and say, okay, from 8 to 9, I'm going to just do this one thing in my real estate business, and from from 9 to 10, I'm going to do my personal activities, which is whatever that might be. So you may want to, that might help you really stay focused and focus on individual tasks in those hours. Does that make sense, Katrina?
Yes, it does. Yes, okay. Yes,
and,
it does.
And I will tell you from a financial standpoint, Katrina, that's for everybody. The number one activity you should be doing when you're working on your real estate business is generating listing leads and prospecting, okay? And
okay.
We always have a tendency to create a lot of other work that we think is important. My good friend Steve Harney, there's something he taught me, I'll never forget it. He said there's a distinction between something being important and being urgent. So there may be a lot of important things you need to do, but just because it's important does not automatically make it urgent. So you have your real estate career, and there may be a lot of important things that you need to do, but what's
yes.
urgent is you getting listings, okay?
Right, okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, good. All right, do
thank
me a favor,
you,
hit star
you.
6 on your phone, and the rest of you, here's what we're going to talk about. Now, listen, I know some of you on this call may not have access to the Power Program website, and you know, you need to be a power agent to get into that site. And because we've launched this new site, which I think is just awesome, because it's so easy to find stuff now. The old site was really hard, and some of the stuff that I put up there, I have more stuff in this site than we did on the old site. And so what you would do, and if you guys are not in front of a computer right now, just bear with me. I'm going to try and make this valuable for you, even though if you're not sitting in front of the computer. But for those of you that are, if you go to thepowerprogram.com, that web address, you'll see a login, and you should log in with your username and password. Now, some of you may have lost your username and password. It's been a while since you got onto the site. And if that's the case, don't do it now. Just, well, what you can do, actually, there's a place where you can click in a lost password, I think. It's right there underneath the login, and it'll email you your user, your information. If you type in your email and it says, we don't recognize you, then you'll have to call my office, and Sean will give you that over the phone. So assuming that you're logged in, let me just tell you what we have here. The first thing is, on the homepage, you're going to see last month's Power Hour with me, which is what this is called, this conference call right now. We call it the Power Hour. So when we're done in this call, we're gonna change September with October's within, you know, 24 hours. You'll also see another recording on there, which is the Power Agent for the month, Bill Kachi. And he was recorded, and you can listen to that. And then underneath that is the digital magazine that I'm going to go to in just a minute. Before you go to the digital magazine, if you click on the word classroom up top, this is, I'm real excited about this for you. And you have to be logged in to see everything that I'm about to tell you. When you click on classroom, you're going to see a plethora of forms and checklists, the expired letters, the dot board, there's a Halloween flyer, which, you know, it's too late for you guys to implement the Halloween flyer we talked about, I think, on last month's call. But what I want you to pay a special attention to, and I'm going to keep adding stuff to this section, by the way. What I want you to pay a special attention to is at the bottom, you're going to see where it says visuals for buyers and visuals for sellers. Now, I don't want you to click on it yet. I don't care if you do, actually. Where it says visual for buyers, you'll see there's buyer slides, and then after that it says October 2011 buyer slides. This is a slide that you would use in front of your buyers to tell them why now is a good time to buy, and it was created in PowerPoint. Now, if you click on it, it'll launch. You'll be able to see it, and then if you want to save it to your computer, you'll see a little button or icon for PowerPoint to save it to your computer, or you can right-click on the link. Some people don't realize this, but if you right-click on hyperlinks, sometimes you can save that directly to your computer, so you don't know you have to open it. But the thing that I really want you to pay attention to, is it says, and this is the first time I've done this, and I'm in all the years that I've been doing this, I'm very excited that I did this for you. It took a lot of time, and that is I created a listing presentation, which you all know I call listing conversation, is I created it in PowerPoint for you. So that way you guys can have a listing. I'm just going to use presentation for now. You have a listing presentation designed for you, and you can customize it. So because I'm giving you the actual PowerPoint file. Now, this PowerPoint file was created in 2010, and we didn't want to downgrade it for a bunch of reasons because 2010 is just better, and you need to have that. So if you don't have PowerPoint 2010, you're going to need to upgrade it in order to use the actual PowerPoint for this. So what else I want to tell you about this? If you click on the file, it's going to take like 10 minutes for it to load because it's a huge file. The best thing to do is just right-click on that link that says Listing Conversation Slides and save it to your hard drive. Okay, now, I did put those visuals together, though, for you also in the digital magazine. So if you're online with me right now, if you scroll up to the top and where you see the home, I want you to click on the button that says home, and that's going to bring us back to the home page. And then if you click on that flipping magazine at the bottom, it's going to launch a separate browser, and that's our digital magazine. Now, again, those of you that are not in front of a computer right now, this is very boring, but I'm going to help it not be boring in just a minute. As you start to click through the magazine, gang, if you go up top, you'll see where the page numbers are. You can actually just jump to a page. And what I like you to do is to jump to page 17. And this is the listing presentation, and this begins the listing conversation. So let me tell you, here's how I think you should put together your book. Let me explain some of these slides, and I hope you guys appreciate it, and it's valuable for you. So the first part of a listing appointment, here's what I think you need to do. When you go on a listing appointment, I think what's real important in today's market is we need to give a homeowner an update of what's happening in the market. And I called it the State of the Union address for real estate, because that's essentially what, you know, a State of the Union address is in January. The president's telling everybody, here's where we are right now, and here's where we're going. Yeah. So when you sit down with a homeowner after you've toured the house and you sit down at the kitchen table and you say, well, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Hanna, let me ask you again, where are you moving to? Why there? When do you need to get there by? You want to get clear about why they're selling, where they're moving to. That's very, very important. So ask a lot of questions. Once you feel that the homeowner has shared enough and you're clear about what they're committed to accomplishing, then you're going to ask them, well, listen, if I can help you get your property sold and you get to Florida with the money you need to make the move a success, is that something you'd be interested in? They'd say yes. I'd say, well, here, let me share some information with you. I think it's real important as a homeowner you understand. I call this the State of the Union address for real estate. You know, the market really has changed. Now, by the way, I'm on page 18. The market has really changed. A lot of homeowners that try selling their home, it's not like it how it used to be. Just like technology's changed, you know, the first IBM computer, you know, took up a whole room, and now we have more power on a smartphone than we had on the first computer. Things have, and that's just in technology, but that's just in life. We have grown so much as human beings that things are just not the same. Let me tell you what's happening and why it's really challenging for a homeowner in today's market to selling a house. Number one, the banks are holding on to their money and they're not lending it to the buyers. You know, it seems like what happened is the government gave this bailout to the banks, and the bank said, thank you very much, and they kept the money. Like they got this influx of cash, and they're really using it just to pay the executives their salaries, and they're not giving it back to the general public. So that's a problem, and it's really hard for a buyer to buy a house if the bank's not going to give them the money. Number two is there's an increase in foreclosures, and these foreclosures are starting to come back on the market, which is creating more of a glut of homes, and it's that old rule of thumb, supply and demand. You know, when there's more supply and the demand doesn't grow with the supply, that you, in order for a product to sell, they got to start now competing based on price. So you can't when you have a glut of a product on the market, you cannot tell the consumer, well, our product is better, because there's so many other products that might, the quality might be similar or the same. So now everybody's forced to compete based on one thing that's left, and that's price. And that's what's happening with homes. There's no unique homes. My home is special because I did this, this, and this, because there's so many other homeowners that did this, this, and this to their property. So the only way homeowners can compete now is price, and it's driving prices down with these foreclosures. Number three, the unemployment rate is taking potential buyers out of the market. You know, the best type of buyers, well, for number one is if people are unemployed and we're looking at close to 10%, and that's just what's reported. What a lot of people don't realize is unemployment numbers are based on what's being reported. Some people have just given up. Some people are not collecting unemployment checks anymore because they've run out. So that number is actually higher as to people that are out of work. Number four is the buyers who are the best buyers are the ones that are selling a property, and they take that equity to go buy a new home. But because there isn't the equity out there, those best buyers, which are other sellers, they're out of the market. So it's really, really hard. I'm sorry to say that, to give you the bad news, but I want to educate you on the reality of what's happening in the real estate industry. And by the way, gang, those of you that are looking at this the slides right now, there's a number five that talks about here's what's happening on Long Island. So what you would do is look at your local stats and what's happening and share that with the homeowner. Now, here's the thing, though, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana. Let me just hang on. I just clicked on the wrong button. Give me a second, gang. Is the next slide that I show is, it says show information about your local market, such as last year's sold prices to this year, last year's days on the market compared to this year, number of listings to sales last year. Anyway, I've given you a whole bunch of stuff, and one of the bullets says power agent visuals. I'll tell you what I'm talking about here in a minute. So then the next thing is you share about the local market, and then you want to share about your credentials. So you say, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, so that's what's going on in the real estate industry, which is really tough. And that's why it's real important now than ever that homeowners work with an agent that really knows their stuff. This is a type of market where agents really have become more like any other profession, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a lawyer, whether it's an accountant. I mean, we're really, that's the kind of expertise that we bring to the table, and that's what homeowners should be looking for. Let me tell you a little bit about myself just so you understand. And then at this point, gang, I would use my certificates, my testimonials, if my past career, if it was some elements of my past career that could help me be a good realtor today, I would talk about that. Then the next thing I would do is talk about the company, the broker's picture, market share, company history. Then after I've done that, I'm going to go into validating the real estate industry. What do realtors bring to the table for a homeowner? So that's the next page on this video. It says 23. By the way, wherever you see the Power Agent logo in these visuals, that's like, I don't want, that's to tell you. It's like a note to you. This is in this section, this is what you should be putting in there. So you have this section, you're going to talk about validating the real estate industry. And then you've got some visuals there. Now, I'm not going to go through teaching the whole listing presentation because a lot of you have seen it and you're familiar with it. And if I need to do another call where I'll go over each one of these visuals, but, you know, the page 24 talks about, you know, there's so many professions out there that you could do it yourself, but you shouldn't. For example, if you were sick, you know, you could medicate yourself, but you shouldn't. You should see a doctor, and a good doctor too. If you got sued, you could go to court and represent yourself, but you shouldn't, because the person who represents himself has a fool for a client. So you hire an attorney. You know, you could probably do your own taxes, but unless you're an accountant, you should go hire an accountant. And the same thing is true of real estate, that, you know, selling your house, you can do it yourself, but just because you can do any one of these things, all of them have one thing in common, have a couple things in common. Number one is if you do it yourself, you can do it yourself, doctor, lawyer, accountant, real estate. Number two is if you do it yourself, you're probably going to lose more than you're going to save. And number three is if you're going to help other people do it, you have to be licensed, certified in order to do it. So the fact that you have to be licensed to help people buy and sell real estate, there must be more to selling a house than just putting an ad in the paper, just like in those other professions. As a matter of fact, USA did a study, and then page 25 talks about the USA study. Page 26 shows what the actual results of that study were. So it's real important, I think, that a homeowner works with, and I would say this to him. I really think, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, that if you're selling your house, that, you know, doing it on your own is just not a good idea, that you find a professional that you trust and like. Now, if you don't feel good about me, I don't think you should hire me. But what I do want you to walk away from this conversation is that doing it on your own, you're going to lose money, not save money. Now, let me tell you, here's how I market property. Just so you can be educated about how I do it. There's two types of agents. There's a selling agent versus a marketing agent. A selling agent is a type of agent that likes to take a house primarily and show property, whereas a marketing agent is a type of agent that likes to take a property and market it and give it exposure. When you're looking to hire somebody, you should be looking for a marketing agent, not a selling agent, because the selling agent is going to try and sell the house themselves. But what's better is if we have in this market about 100 agents that could possibly show our house. The job of the marketing agent is to market it to all the other 100 selling agents to get them excited about bringing their buyers. See, one agent may bring, you know, 3 or 4 buyers, but a marketing agent can bring 300-400 because they're motivating the other agents who have those buyers. And here's why marketing is so important. Now I'm on to the next slide. To get the highest possible price, you want as many buyers, buyers exposure, marketing tools. Once again, I'm not going to go through all the visuals. Page 30, it says, see, selling a house, there's two ways to catch a fish. You can take go out to the lake, take a line, throw it out into the pond and, you know, catch a fish or two. But my company, what we do is with all the marketing tools, it's like sending a trawler out with a net. You know, we bring so many more buyers because our marketing is like a net as opposed to individual fishing poles. You know, here's something else, too, when you're looking and why marketing is so important working with the realtor is because, let's say you wanted to sell shoes for a living. You open up a shoe store and you have buyers come to your shoe store. Everybody knows that if you had a shoe store in a mall, the rent's a lot more expensive. And the reason why that is because there's more buyers coming to a mall than there are to an individual store. So you may have a buyer go to the mall saying that they want a dress, and when they buy the dress, they say, you know what, let me see, maybe I should get a new pair of shoes to go with this new dress. So business promotes business. The stores that are in malls, they're going to be attracting secondary and third types of buyers that they would not have gotten if they were just out on their own. So a homeowner selling their own home is like that mom-and-pop shoe store on the corner. But when you list with me, because of all of my other listings that I have, it's like you just put your house in my mall, and that's what you want to do, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana. And then we have the eBay versus Ethan Allen visual. Let me tell you how I market properties, ma'am, and Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana. That's page 33. Then page 34 is the Shiny Penny program. You can explain how Shiny Pennies work, why it's important to price the property, and how Shiny Pennies work, the broker's open house. Each one of these you want to use metaphors and analogies. Now, gang, for me to go through a whole listing presentation word for word, I would actually need a good hour to do, which we only have an hour in this call. So, you know, I'm trying to give you as much as we can in this short time. What's really important you all understand, though, is that this visuals in the magazine are in an actual PowerPoint for you on the website. So you can log into the website and actually open up these slides, and you can put your company logo on it. You can move the slides around, which, by the way, this is really important that I say this to you. I was doing a seminar for a company called Realty Connect USA on Long Island just on this very topic. And what I was saying to them is, I'm going to say it to you all, is that what's real important is that there's no right way to do a listing appointment. There are certain outlines or certain guidelines. There's a framework on how you should communicate. But push comes to shove, you should move the pages, move the slides around in the order that you like to deliver it. So if you don't like the State of the Union address idea, well, then don't do that section. Or if you like the State of the Union address section, after the validating the realtor, or if you like the USA Today article somewhere else. So what you need to do is take these visuals and customize your conversation. The only way, now let me tell you something real important, gang. When I do a seminar, like I have on my schedule today, from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, it's 2 hours, I'm rehearsing a seminar. I'm actually working on the content of a seminar that I'm doing in Chicago for Coldwell Banker. It's their top 80 agents in the Chicagoland area. The lowest producing agent closed $10 million last year. Most of the agents are doing 50, 60 million closed. Now, I've done this seminar before, but I'm going through it again because of the new research. I keep changing the whole smile, motivation, some of the stuff I talked to you about on this call. Plus, I got to plug my humor in. You know, when I'm on these calls, it's more, you know, I'm working with you. It's hard to do humor over the phone to, like, a bunch of people listening. But anyway, what I'm going to do for 2 hours is I'm going to put together my seminar, yeah? But then what I have to do is I actually have to stand up in my office and run through the presentation as if I'm doing it in front of a live audience. Now, here's why I need to do that. Is because creating a seminar on a computer screen and actually performing it with the humor and the audience participation and how people might react, it always comes out very different. I would say when I actually rehearse it standing up, there's about 30-40% new material that comes out when I do that. And then when I actually do it in front of a live audience, there's another 20% that gets changed, dropped, moved around. So my point here is that, you know, we can take these visuals and put them together, the slides, and you're looking at it now with me, but when you're belly-to-belly, face-to-face with an actual seller, it's going to come out totally different. So after you go on a listing appointment and you start talking about this stuff and you leave, you're going to say, you know what, I didn't like this, this, and this. Next time I'm going to move it. And I'm going to maybe add this. So, gang, I can't stress enough how important it is that you go out into the field and actually go on as many appointments as you can and reinvent your conversation and keep fine-tuning it and keep tweaking it, just like you would if you were dancing on the dance floor. It's always going to come out different. But the more times you go on the floor, the better you are at dancing. You cannot be a dancer by watching Dancing on with the Stars or watching some kind of how-to video on how to move. That's going to get you just so far. You actually got to get on the dance floor and move your damn feet. And that's the listing appointment. And every time you go on the dance floor, you're going to get better. So I hope you get on the darn floor. All right, now, let me just finish these slides. So I'm going to jump to the end, though. So I'm flipping, and I created pricing visuals for you, and I'm thinking maybe some of you need me to go over some of this stuff. Maybe we'll do a dedicated call just on these slides. There's a miscellaneous section on page 57, and there's some really good, there's some great slides here. I'm really happy I did this for you. If you have any questions on these slides, maybe the best way to do it is if you email me, Daryl, could you explain this slide, and I'll do that on the next call. But if you go to page, you know, these magazines are usually like 50 pages long, and this month is over 70. If you go to page 72 to the end of the magazine has slides to tell a homeowner or a buyer why now's the best time to buy or sell, or why a homeowner's got to get aggressive on pricing, especially the seller's visuals, 74, 75, 76, 77. They're really awesome. I mean, it talks about what's happening with the pricing and foreclosures and the shadow inventory. You got to get aggressive with your price. So that's what we got. Okay. So I want you to take the time. So I'm going to – does anybody have any questions? I got like 2 minutes left on the call. Does anybody have any questions? If you do, you hit *6, and that'll make it live, and you can ask me a question. And I'll just give about 10 seconds for that to happen. If anybody hits it, it takes a little delay.
Hey, Daryl.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Nick in Atlanta. Can you lead us?
Nick, hang on 1 second before you ask that. Don't anybody go anywhere. I'm gonna send you off. So hang in there. We're not done. Go ahead, Nick.
From the homepage, can you lead us to that listing presentation again?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. When you're on, hang on, let me go to that. When you're on the homepage,
yeah,
the actual magazine at the bottom has the pages, but you can't manipulate them. It's more of a viewing thing. So if you want
right.
the actual file that you can manipulate, click on the word classroom, yeah? And when you go to classroom, and if you scroll all the way to the bottom, Nick, it'll say visuals for sellers, okay?
I don't see and classroom.
It, you don't see the word classroom at the top?
No. It says blog. Daryl, speaker training events, meeting planners, shop.
Oh, hang on. You're on my site. You're not on the Power Program site. Okay. So, Nick, what you have to do is go to thepowerprogram.com.
Oh, okay.
You're on the Daryl Davis site. That's my speaking site, and that's not for you. I mean, it can be, but go to thepowerprogram.com.
Okay.
All right, now you're going to have to log in, so I don't want to do the login with you, but if you're on the home page, you'll see the digital magazine. It won't show it to you until after you log in, but after you log in, do you see the word classroom?
Yeah, I do.
When you click on that, you scroll to the bottom, you'll say visuals for seller, and you'll see one of the bullets. It'll say listing presentation slides, and that's where you'll be able to get it, okay?
Okay, appreciate it, man.
If you have any other questions, you call my office, they'll help you. So, gang, thanks, Nick. I'm going to send you off right now. So, there's a couple of things that I hope you walk away with. Number one is real estate is a race. It's not a sprint. You need to pace yourself. Number two is you've got to have something that you're passionate about. Put support structure to help you stay focused. The more you dance, the better you're going to be a dancer. So you got to get on the dance floor. And the last thing is we're moving into a really great time right now. You know, the market is really challenging across the board. But the good thing is that only the strong will survive. So the question is, are you going to be one of the strong ones? I say yes, because you just committed an hour to be on this call. So that does say something that you're hungry, you want to improve, and that's a good thing. Right now we're moving into the holidays. We've got Halloween, Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's. Anybody that's going to buy or sell is serious. So go out there, go on a lot of listing appointments, get a lot of listings. This is a time to get a lot of listings and make sure they're priced aggressively. And start working with those buyers because the buyers coming out in the weather, they're serious. Okay, so with that said, thanks for calling in. You know, I wish you guys the best for the next 30 days. I look forward to talking to you on the next call. Please email me your questions so I can help you. And don't forget, we don't just help people buy and sell real estate. We actually contribute to their lives by helping them get to their next level. So the more people that you help get to their next level, the more money you get paid. All right, gang, I'll talk to you soon. Have a wonderful Halloween. Thank you.
Daryl?
Yes.
Hey, it's Jeannie Phoenix in New Jersey. How are you?
Good, Jeannie. How are you?